In Cincinnati, the third night of a police curfew brought relative quiet, broken by sporadic street violence. The southern Ohio city erupted last week after the fatal shooting of an unarmed black teenager by a white police officer. The funeral yesterday of 19-year-old Timothy Thomas was attended by a tense but peaceful crowd of several thousand mourners. The city now faces the challenge of turning the curfew-imposed calm into real peace. From Cincinnati, NPR's Eric Westerveld reports.
An overflow crowd of mourners spilled into the streets outside New Prospect Baptist Church Saturday. During the viewing, residents of this mostly black neighborhood known as Over the Rhine gathered to talk, sing, and protest. Neighborhood activist Linda Brock says the street clashes earlier were the worst she's seen here since 1968, after Martin Luther King was assassinated. Brock charges that for years, the conservative, mostly white city leadership in Cincinnati all but ignored her community's concerns about jobs, about police, about justice.
We're sorry that it happened this way, but no one could predict, because it was always a bomb waiting to explode.
Inside the church, the funeral itself was part remembrance, part political call to action. Between singing and Bible readings, civil rights and political leaders eulogized a teenager who's quickly come to embody the racial divide in this city of 330,000. Mayor Charlie Lucan, who's white, said he hoped this week's events would be a, quote, catalyst for a new Cincinnati. And Bob Taft, Ohio's governor and a Cincinnati native, echoed the calls for unity.
And I pray also that in the words of your pastor, Reverend Lynch, that today will be the beginning of the healing process. And I call upon all Cincinnatians to start the process of reconciliation, to find new ways of communication, new ways of conversation, that all Cincinnatians work together to build understanding and trust. So
but that new communication and trust the governor speaks of will come hard. The anger here is palpable, and people disagree widely on solutions. And the spectrum of national black leaders who flocked here since the unrest began have very different agendas. At the funeral, some called for reconciliation, others talked tough. Martin Luther King III evoked his father's call for peaceful change. NAACP Director Kwaise Amfume told mourners, Thomas's death may prompt a new debate on race relations in America. While Jamal Muhammad with the Nation of Islam had a different assessment.
Cincinnati, and by the way, Mr. Governor, I'm a native Cincinnatian too. I was born and raised in the old Cincinnati, the old racist Cincinnati, the old wicked Cincinnati, the old institutionalized racist Cincinnati that brutalized us and beat us and killed us every day of our life.
And Malik Shabazz of the new Black Panther Party told those gathered that the unrest that followed Thomas's death sent a much-needed message.
This is not a riot in Cincinnati. This is not a riot. This is a righteous, divinely ordained rebellion.
That more angry, strident voice found resonance with many young black men on the streets of Thomas's neighborhood.
I ain't getting shot by nobody. They shooting at me, I'm shooting at them.
Sid is an 18-year-old who didn't want to give his last name. He said he's tired of black men getting shot by police, four here since November, and nothing being done about it.
Man, the police here get away with anything, anything they want to do. They kill somebody, they get a vacation for 2 weeks with pay and a promotion. What the?
Robert Harper, an older man standing nearby, then put his arm affectionately around Sid's shoulder and said he's been there and understands his frustration.
I don't want him dying. This might be a doctor. I don't want him dying. Mm-mm. And I don't want him living in such a situation where he has no hope. But that's what's going on here.
Many black teens in Cincinnati say it's not just the string of fatal police shootings they're angry about. They say the long simmering tensions stem from daily indignities. Chevella Bruiser says too often kids are stopped or questioned for just hanging out or because of what they wear.
The ones to wear the droop pants and the gold teeth, they wonder where they get the money from. That's not none of their business. To my opinion, I don't think that's none of their business. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I really don't. You know, that's how they want to wear their clothes. Okay, if I want to wear my shoestrings tied to each other, that's my business.
City officials say the strictly enforced dusk to dawn curfew will be evaluated on a day-to-day basis. But many, such as Mike, a 37-year-old, say the curfew has simply put an artificial lid on pent-up anger.
You might as well say you're locked up. You know what I'm saying? You're locked up.
Despite the curfew, the city hopes to restore a kind of normalcy as the work week begins tomorrow. Schools will reopen and the Reds return from the road and will have to decide whether to play ball or postpone their night games. On a swing at a nearby park, a pair of black 7-year-old girls smile broadly. They're seemingly immune to the rage swirling around them as they swing, kicking their legs up higher and higher into the air. Eric Westervelt, NPR News, Cincinnati.